Got a little piece of information about women-owned businesses for you, that women-owned businesses are growing at twice the national rate. Lisa Kivrist of Browntown is the owner of In Serendipity Bed and Breakfast, a rural women's project director for MOSES, the Midwest Organic and Sustainable Education Service, and is also author of Ecopreneuring, Rural Renaissance, and also the Edible Earth Cookbook. So she's an ecopreneur for sure, par excellence, and I'm glad to have her with us today to talk about opportunities and inspiration for women farmers and ecopreneurs. I hope you'll join in. Maybe you have a business start. Maybe you're a woman who has her own business, or maybe you're farming. We'd love to hear your experiences or perhaps your questions about maybe how to get started or what to do. I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. And Lisa Kivrist, welcome back.
Hi, thank you.
Great to have you with us. So women-owned businesses are really growing.
They sure are. And you blend that with the fact that according to the last ag census, there was a 30% increase of the number of women farmers. You see a real vibrant movement of women launching food businesses that really reflect their passion for food, be it growing it, serving it, making it to muffins like we do at our bed and breakfast. But they're businesses that go beyond just a paycheck or starting something to make profit. They're ventures that reflect a shared passion for really changing how we eat and changing how we view what's on our plate.
What's caused it?
That's a good question. I think it's multiple layers of things. It's a movement, as you see with the increases of women-run businesses, to be more entrepreneurial. I mean, in spite of or despite of today's economy, people, particularly women going into agriculture businesses, are saying, this is what I always wanted to do. Let's get it rolling. Let's get it planted. Let's get it growing and nurtured. And it's also stemmed by the fact that, again, people are driven increasingly, I like to think increasingly, definitely, by what it is they want to contribute to the world, the legacy they want to leave beyond just that job mentality. And I think if anything that the current economic situation has taught us is to be more independent in our livelihood and our business structure, our careers, and the farming side's a great way for many folks to achieve that.
And what are some of the examples of types of farming enterprises or types of businesses we might say that women are getting involved in?
Yeah, well, on our own story, when my husband John and I moved to our farm, it'd be a good 15 years ago, coming from the Chicago scene, the cubicle corporate paycheck scene, with no farming roots or experience whatsoever, our goal, and you see this increasingly, was to generate our income on farm, but through a diversification of income sources. So our goal wasn't to have to commute somewhere anymore with a W-2 and a paycheck, but how could we do that on farm? So by both growing things, by both agritourism enterprises like us with the bed and breakfast, or you see everything from farm stands to corn mazes to all sorts of things, folks doing value-added product of taking those tomatoes that are in abundance right now and transforming them to salsa and other things. But an important part of our equation, and we see this increasingly with women starting farms, is reevaluating that business as usual equation of basically you start a business to earn money to buy the things you need. Well, how can we reverse all that? And we went through that when we moved to the farm of, well, okay, instead of needing to earn money to go out to the grocery store and buy our food, can we raise our own food? And have evolved to, if you could believe it, Larry, not growing zucchini the first year or trying to grow zucchini and it never germinated, to growing about 70% of our own and the bed and breakfast food needs over a decade later. So if we can learn to grow it, anybody can. Same thing with our utilities. Instead of paying a check to the utility every month, we now run the farm on renewable energy and get a check back from the utility and don't pay that monthly bill. So it's looking at those equations differently, which really opens up a lot of independence for folks, creativity, and I'd argue a lot of satisfaction.
I would think so. In terms of, it sounds great, but there have to be a lot of challenges and problems associated with getting involved in this.
Oh, sure. My mother still calls on a regular basis and says, when are you guys going to go back to being normal? But, you know, there's a... motivation in staying on the unexpected serendipitous path, if you will. Well, you know, it's interesting. When we first started our farming operation, I think it was weirder. I mean, we were still known as that interesting couple on County P that doesn't mow their lawn anymore and grows things organically. But things have really changed in the last decade, where there's a much stronger support structure. There's a lot more resources available and a lot more people doing this sort of thing. So there's a underground mentorship network for folks to tap into that make it a lot much more fruitful, if you will, than I think it was when some of us were pioneering a while back.
Oh, boy. Lisa Kivirist, our guest today, as we talk with her about resources, opportunities, and inspiration for women farmers and ecopreneurs. You can join in with your questions or comments or experiences at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us. The email address is talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. You know, I mentioned that you are Rural Women's Project Director for Moses when I introduced you, and maybe you could talk a little bit about what Moses is and how that might relate to this.
Sure. Moses stands for the Midwest Organic and Sustainable Education Service. And we're real fortunate here in Wisconsin in the Midwest because Moses is the leading national group for supporting the voice and the training and the resources for organic agriculture. We cheeseheads tend to be a humble lot, you know, Larry, and we forget the fact, or we just aren't aware of the fact, that Wisconsin is leading the nation in this agriculture movement. We lead in organic livestock production and dairy. We'll give California produce. That's okay. And Moses has been a key player in that. So on the Moses website, mosesorganic.org, both anyone from existing farmers to folks curious and interested in starting a farm can find a variety of free resources to tap into. And a big one is the Moses Organic Farming Conference every February. It'll be the February 24th and 25th next year in 2011 in La Crosse, largest organic farming conference in the country. So a great resource for folks to jump into and meet people, get ideas, see what folks are doing, and see what new trends are within the organic agriculture movement. The Rural Women's Project stemmed from the fact that we've been talking about, that there's this growth of women going into agriculture-related businesses, and how can we help support that, both through training and resources and connecting different women, particularly women who are starting ideas or may have a seed of an idea and say, what can I do with this? How can I make it come alive?
And you're hosting a series of events, too, that I wanted to bring up and talk, called Planting Fresh Seeds.
Excellent, yeah. Through the Rural Women's Project, we have been doing, for 2 years now, a workshop series throughout the state. We have a series of workshops coming up in September called Planting Fresh Seeds, where we talk about these things. We talk about primarily my hat that I wear, first and foremost, is a writer, and I'm fascinated and inspired by the stories of Wisconsin, and particularly the stories of folks related to agriculture. And the stories of women changing our food system here in our state are really tremendous. So the workshops focus a lot on case study stories of what are people doing, so people can garner and glean inspiration ideas and talk about different resources available. And most importantly, get together in a room, a group of women passionate about that change element. And it's amazing, and I'm continually amazed at the connections and the ideas and the networks that erupt from that. So we will be doing three of those in Wisconsin. And this is all, again, on the Moses website, mosesorganic.org. But there's one on the 7th of September, right outside Green Bay in Denmark at the Bridge Between Retreat Center. One on September 9th up in Ashland with the Agriculture Energy Resource Center, and one on the 29th of September here in Madison at Willie Street with the Wisconsin Farmers Union and MACSAC.
So there are three coming up, and we'll talk a little bit more about, remind you of the dates and so forth of that as we move along today. You mentioned, before we go to the phones here, by the way, you can join us at 800-642-1234. You gave us your own story, and you mentioned that there are other stories that are to be told or that are going to be told. And it'd be fun to hear some of those stories, and maybe we'll hear those. But you know what? Just because of the time, I think we're going to go to Carol in Madison first, and then we can come back to that. Carol, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. I was wondering if she had no experience at all before with farming. What were some of the shocks or surprises that happened to her when she moved from Chicago to a rural area in Wisconsin and tried to start farming?
Oh, good question.
Yeah, a real good question. Well, you know, it's probably a two-part answer. I mean, I quickly realized the physical elements of agriculture, and it was something that I had been immune to for years, working in an inside environment, working in a cubicle, working on a computer. To be outside had an impact on me, physically, emotionally, spiritually, I guess you'd say. But as a result of that, it immediately drew us to a much more seasonal lifestyle and really embracing that. And yeah, it's August and life is chaos right now, and the tomatoes and zucchinis are piling up, and it's like that every year, and it's this situation of abundance. But that is balanced by 3 months from now, when we can be a little bit more dormant around the wood stove and recoup and refresh and re-energize there. So that seasonal element was a quick transition for us and an important one. And two, I think it clearly indicated to us that nobody goes into farming alone. There is amazing networks wherever you live and wherever you may be. Where we live in Greene County outside Monroe, we have a real high senior population and retirees who've been farming their entire life and can tell us amazing perspectives and stories, both from a 50-year perspective and an immediate, I need to know right now how to get rid of my potato beetles. And according to our dear neighbor Burnett, you know, you just sit and pick them off. So it's an amazing journey for us in that people appear when you need answers, people appear when you need an inspiration, a butt kick, what it may ever may be. And that is a key element in keeping us going.
Thanks for that question. Lisa Kivirist, our guest. She'll be with us right up until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking about resources, opportunities, inspiration for women farmers and ecopreneurs with Lisa Kivirist, owner of In Serendipity Bed and Breakfast, Rural Women's Project Director for MOSES, the Midwest Organic and Sustainable Education Service. And she's co-author of the book Ecopreneuring, Rural Renaissance, and the Edible Earth Cookbook. Glad to have her with us today. And certainly, if you have some questions or comments as we move along today, I'd be interested to hear from women who are in business for themselves or have started a business or maybe thinking about it. Give us a call with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. And Lisa, you're the author of Ecopreneuring, and maybe we should explain, I think it's fairly evident, but talk about Ecopreneuring a little bit.
Yeah, Ecopreneuring and the Ecopreneuring movement is the kind of people we've been talking about, of these women going into food-based businesses that reflect what they're passionate about. And that passion stems from really transforming our environment, our planet, our world, and making things better for future generations and our children. And that stems beyond the traditional entrepreneurial business model of, again, you got to make profit, you got to make money, that defines your success. It's a realization that there's other factors in that. It's how we treat the environment, how we treat our planet, it's how we treat people and our community. And all of those things interconnect and very much creating a business that models nature. Mother Nature is real diversified. She plants a lot of seeds. There's a lot of apples falling from the trees right now. And we need to do that in our own livelihoods. How can we have a lot of different things going on? How can we keep it healthy and balanced in ways that model nature?
What about you have some stories, I'm sure, that you can share. You've told about your own experiences in getting In Serendipity started. And I know with your seminars coming up, you're going to have three free events, planting fresh seed seminars. And there are other women who are going to share their experiences. Could you give us some examples, a couple of examples?
Bet. What I find really inspiring with a lot of the women going into farming here in Wisconsin is, well, the number of young women in their 20s who are couple years out of school, maybe a couple years into the workforce, who just know this is what they want to do. And I admire that tremendously, because when I was in my 20s, I was just trying to find a little boat to go on and not that sure of my vision. And it's amazing. And what's also amazing about these younger women in particular, but in general amongst this movement of women farmers, is doing things without incurring debt or big amounts of debt. Or it's this burden that people always are encumbered by when they start talking about starting a business or starting a farm, is I've got to buy the farm, I got to buy the tractor, I got to buy all this stuff to make it work. And then you're starting out from ground zero in debt. And that's a real unbalanced equation to start with. So you see women like Ginny Knight started a small CSA up in Sun Prairie this season, Sweet Magnolia. And she's a young farmer in her 20s doing it herself, not taking on debt by renting land from a farm that basically had some land and would love to have a CSA property on it. She prides herself in dumpster diving and finding refrigerators and things she needed in creative circumstances and bringing them back to life, which again, very much supports that ecopreneurial philosophy of reuse and recycling. But it also has an incredible, great influence on your bottom line of the fact that you're not taking on debt. And that is very both inspiring and I hope a trend for the future, because again, going back to our current economic situation, debt, however we define it, is a big factor in it. And the more people can start small scale operations, get it going, and whether or not she'll stay at that place for forever isn't the issue right now. It's kind of getting out of that super long-term planning and getting something running, seeing what you like to grow, and evolving from that.
Yeah. So she's had a good year.
Yeah. Yeah. You see more folks like that. Katie Peterman is another young farming friend of mine who got married this year, started her farm with her husband, Laughing Sprout Family Farm up in Reedsburg. A similar situation where they're renting from an existing farm, keeping their expenses low, didn't take on debt, and they call it their rookie year, where basically they recruited their friends and families to be their CSA members and see it as a bit of an experimentive crop. But as a result, because they don't have that pressure to pay that mortgage, pay that credit card payment every month, they can be a bit more free in developing their roots, if you will, and love farming, love that agricultural lifestyle. And that's the important part, is I think when people get started to not overwhelm and overburden themselves so that they burn out so quickly before they even have an opportunity to start to shine.
You know, it's interesting. I'm thinking about, I have some good friends who started a hops business. And they were helping, they're helping farmers get started in the business, and they're providing a service of actually teaching them how to do it and how to grow the hops, how to maintain it, how to harvest it. And then they're handling the hops as it comes in, drying it and doing that for the farmers. And they've got a really good system going. The reason I bring that up is they thought that there would be a lot of large farms or large farmers who would be interested in this, and that was their original feeling. But what they're finding is that there are a lot of people with a small acreage. Maybe they have a couple of acres or 3 acres. And those are the people that are more likely to become involved in this.
No, that's exactly right. And you see that acreage issue reflected in this growth of women going into farming is smaller farms, very local focused, very community focused. And in many ways, as with the hops, I mean, Wisconsin used to be a leader in growing hops, returning to our agricultural roots as a state of what grew well. And you see a lot of innovative things happening. Erin Schneider is a young farmer up in Laval at Hilltop Community Farm, and she received some SARE funding, SARE's Sustainable Agriculture Research Education, that funds small producer grants to do on-farm research of different kinds of product innovation. But she's going back to the roots, too, of looking at hardy Midwestern perennial fruits. I mean, we're eating too many bananas in Wisconsin. And according to Erin, and I'm with her, I don't even know what these, they're aronia, quince, Saskatoon berries, currants.
Oh, Saskatoon berries are great.
All right, see? She's on a mission to bring that back. So you see a lot of young new farmers reinventing our food system, basically, or trying to plant some seeds to do that. And that will only help us all long term, both from a localized agriculture perspective, you know, less importing, less fossil fuels, all those things together. But it's interesting when you talk about the hops, because in many ways it's not reinventing things. It's just going back to where we originally were.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned SARA funding.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little more about that. I'm sure there might be some other people interested in that.
Sure, yeah. One hat that I wear with Moses and the Rural Women's Project is we try to synthesize different resources for women farmers, both federal programs within the Farm Bill, and make them a bit more farmer user friendly. And that's what we'll be talking about at these workshops, because the Farm Bill, I weighed it. I think it weighs over 10 pounds. It's a honking piece of legislation. But thanks to the leadership of a lot of Wisconsin-based organizations like the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute and the National Sustainable Coalition for Agriculture, inroads are being made in federal funding to support more of these types of ventures that get the money to beginning farmers and new farmers and really do some good with it. So on that note, women for many Farm Bill programs are still classified, for better or for worse, as what's called socially disadvantaged farmers because of the numbers and the smaller numbers and historic issues. So on one note, there are programs that there's specific set-asides for the socially disadvantaged farmer groups that women qualify under. So, for example, if somebody is looking for a farm loan, there are some federal Farm Bill programs for a down payment program or a direct farm operating loan that have set-aside funds available that women farmers can tap into. And those are things you could talk to your local Farm Service Agency or FSA office
FSA
or
office.
USDA office about. And there are things we'll be talking at the program too. But the point is to really keep asking questions, because these programs keep changing, they keep evolving. I truly believe they keep improving. And there are questions that need to be asked for each of us to connect our own dots, if you will. Mm-hmm. There's no cookie cutter, one size fits all pattern for women starting food-based businesses. It's very individualized and personalized in a good way. So that's what we try to work on within the Moses program, is to get women together, get people asking questions, and importantly, have these resources used.
We have an email. Actually, this is from Bill in Marshfield, who has 1.5 acres to grow something. Can you think of an organic crop that might bring in revenue on such a small area? He said, well, 1.5 acres you can do quite a bit with.
You can do a lot on a little. Our own farm itself is only 5.5 acres. Well, I'll reverse the question on Bill, because that's a traditional approach to businesses. You know, what's their market for, and I'll grow it. But what you see a lot of women farmers going into is, what am I passionate about? What do I just love? And can I create a business around that? And Adrian Caldwell up in Viroqua started Powerkraut. This is a woman who lives, breathes, eats, sleeps live culture food. I mean, she's convinced, and she's convinced me, that, you know, if we all ate more of the traditional sauerkrauts mm-hmm. and kimchis and live culture, we would be a healthier society. And that's what she built her business around, is she grows the organic vegetables that go into these live cultured foods. She has a live culture CSA that she delivers these at. She sells at Willie Street and other places, and has created a business around what she's passionate about. Now, I don't know if she went through the analysis. Do you know, does cabbage grow well in Wisconsin? Well, yes maybe. But it was that live culture element that drove her. And again, to Bill, what is it? Is it the hops? Is it the beer side? Is it other things? You know, with Aaron, it was these Saskatoon berries that kept her up at night. And ask those kind of questions and see if you can connect the dots in that way.
That's a very good point. You can join in, too, with your question or comment, or maybe your experience, at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org, and we'd love to hear from you. So, yeah, 1.5 acres, you can do. Well, you've got 5 acres, and obviously you've got buildings.
Oh, yeah, we probably have just a little over 1 acre in actual crops. But that said, we have some crops that don't always fall into those cookie-cutter checkboxes of crops. We harvest the wind. We harvest the sun through a wind turbine and through solar panels. So it's really reinventing agriculture in new ways, and ways that we can harvest some new crops, if you will, that in many cases, as with wind and sun, are completely renewable. And
you even on that small amount of land, you feed your 70% of all your food, including the guests that you have.
Yeah. We calculated last year what it was that we spent the most money on out of our food budget, and I confess it's coffee. We have a coffee plant growing in our greenhouse, but it's not adequate to service our needs. But yeah, so it's very much doable. But that said, we've learned to adapt within our own business from the bed and breakfast, for example, to a little bit of Mother Nature's needs. And last year, we didn't get a really good tomato crop, and this year we have an abundant zucchini crop. So we like to think of our farm as doing extreme value added of, you know, some folks harvest the tomatoes, some make salsa. We'll cook them up and serve them on your plate for breakfast in the morning. But they're all different paths that still stem from that passion for food.
And before we go back to the phones, in your own bed and breakfast, so when people come, they experience the farm and what you have there?
Mm-hmm.
And
you bet. We get a lot of folks who are curious about, hey, can I have a shower heated by the sun? Or can I eat a hearty vegetarian breakfast and still feel satisfied? So that curiosity education factor is a real reality of a lot of these new farm businesses, be it offering open house tours, be it just keeping that open, authentic connection with one's customers at the farmer's market and come over and see my farm. And that is really opening up a lot of doors for folks.
Let's take a call. Dwight in Duluth, Minnesota. Let's go to you now. Hi, Dwight. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Hey, my wife wanted a garden in our backyard this year, so I took out an old retaining wall I wanted to replace and used that for the boundaries of the garden. And they were green-type treated, you know, like 6x6-inch logs. And then someone told her, oh, that's got arsenic in it, and it's going to leach into your vegetable garden. And, I mean, these logs are 30 years old, probably. And how much of a threat is that?
What we do on the farm is sort of the French-style raised beds. So basically, we don't have them enclosed by wood. We keep them mounded naturally and keep reusing the soil in that sense and adding nutrients to it. So that might be a good question to bounce off your extension agent on the exact type of wood and possibly even look at a sample of that, because I'm sorry, I'm not sure specifically on that. But the raised beds are a great opportunity for folks getting into gardening. I love our friends in more urban areas who have them. You can grow a lot off a little when you have it condensed in that capacity.
Something that's 30 years old, it could well be okay, but you could probably have it checked, and I'm not sure where. Well, I think probably the best would be to go to the UW Extension, go to your extension agent and get some information on how to have that tested, because I'm just not sure. I'm not sure. Sorry we can't be of more help on that, Dwight, but appreciate your call. Thank you so much for calling. So the Rural Women's Project is your project. Talk a little bit more about what it is you're aiming to do with it.
Sure. Within MOSES, through this particular Rural Women's Project, is to help support, as we're talking about today, women who have ideas, have visions, have dreams of starting their own food-based enterprise. And also, as we've been talking about, this stems the gamut from both women starting farms, in a, you know, running a CSA, community supported agriculture, growing for farmers markets, to the value added, and Adrian, mm-hmm. who we're talking about with live culture foods through Power Kraut, to businesses like ours where we serve the food, we create an experience around the food, and you see that at restaurants and all of these things. While they sound like distinctly different businesses, are very share a common thread in that the women going into them, myself most definitely included, are passionate about that food element of it. It's more than just a job. It's a way to create a livelihood. And in many cases, with a lot of the women we're seeing, the family integration is an important element of things. Be it their kids and raising their children in an environment where they can be integrated with the business, be it the farm, be it coming to the farm stand, or as in our case, and our son, Liam helping serving muffins in the morning. But by creating your own business in that entrepreneurial spirit, you have the elements to do that. And what we found within the Moses Rural Women's Project is by connecting women in that capacity and planting some seeds of ideas of how other women have done things. Again, things we'll be talking about at these workshops. It's very inspiring to know that you're not alone. B, people have gone down it. And more importantly, to harvest nuggets of ways people have done it so you can build your own unique creative enterprise.
And I want to go back to those seminars again, because to give more specific information, you have the first one is September 7th.
Yep. And this is all on the Moses website, mosesorganic.org. But we have three coming up in September. And do check back, because there'll be some more in Milwaukee into November. The one on the 7th is, and this sort of just depends on where you are in the state. The one on the 7th is in Denmark, just east of Green Bay at the Bridge Between Retreat Center. Then we'll be doing one on September 9th, way up north in Ashland, with the Agriculture and Energy Resource Center at the Ashland Ag Research Station. And then the 29th of September, back here in Madison, and it's a collaborative effort. It's going to be at Willie Street Co-op, but with Willie Street, the Wisconsin Farmers Union, and MACSAC, the Madison Area CSA Coalition. So this collaborative effort is very much a part of this Women in Agriculture movement of nobody that I've encountered, that we work with within Moses, sees themselves as an isolated enterprise. It's very collaborative in spirit, helping each other out. The MosesOrganic.org website has a mentor program for farmers of all backgrounds and genders and all of that. But it's a great way to more formally connect with somebody experienced in what you may be wanting to go into, to have that mentoring relationship. So at these Rural Women's Project workshops, those mentorships pop up a little bit more organic and informally, if you will. But there's options, too, within Moses for a more formal mentoring relationship.
And so at each one, I think, well, the first two are at 6, the other is at 7, but so it's probably a two-hour or three-hour event?
Yep. They're evening workshops. Again, they're free to attend. Just pop on the Moses website there and register. It's about a two-hour event there. But the same workshop at all three places.
Oh, so you're going to cart everybody around, the same folks around to all three places,
you
eh?
Yeah, right.
Well, I tell you, I just finished your muffin. I tell you, Lisa is one of our favorite guests, because when she comes, she always bakes some muffins and brings them along, and they rapidly disappear from the box or basket that she brings, and they're delicious. Did you know? Were you a baker, by the way, before you got into this business?
Hey, that's the perk of inviting a bed and breakfast host to the show. Well, you know, both my husband John and I, we grew up in pretty conventional suburban families, but my family was always rooted in food, but definitely not the farming side. But if you look at most American families, you go back a generation or two, whether it's on American soil or soil in another country, we all have strong agriculture roots and food roots of the home front and the hearth and baking and all of that. So, I must say I learned more of that as an adult, but I think I absorbed more than I give my mom credit of watching her bake in the kitchen and things as I was growing up. But yeah, it's definitely a part of our daily routine now. And especially, I don't think you realize there's a lot of zucchini actually in those muffins.
Oh, so boy, they're good.
That's also a quest to get as much of that in front of folks this time of year.
and to use as much zucchini as possible.
You bet.
Your zucchini are growing well now, I'm sure, after your first year. How many years has it been now?
That would have been 14 years ago when we
planted
zucchini and nothing came up. And unfortunately, we went not public, but at least, I don't know, we told one person and then everybody knew. And we got a lot of zucchini, no problem there. But yeah.
Lisa, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us today. And again, a series of three free events called Planting Fresh Seeds Seminar, and on September 7th, the Bridge Between Retreat Center in Denmark, Wisconsin, September 9th, the Ashland Research Station in Ashland, and September 29th at 7 p.m., Willie Street Co-op in Madison. And the Moses website is, what's the Moses website?
MosesOrganic.org. And there's a ton of free resources information on there for folks to explore.
Moses, what, once more?
MosesOrganic.org.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank you, Larry.
Appreciate it very much. Lisa Kivrist of Browntown, owner with her husband of In Serendipity Bed and Breakfast. And boy, she's done a lot for everybody. I was going to say rural women, but rural men and women. The work that she and her husband have done have been just great through their own individual efforts and through their associations with organizations like Moses. So it's always fun to have her along, and we'll have her back. And just a quick look ahead, we'll take a look at consumer financial decisions tomorrow at 11, and then 11:45, we'll talk canoeing and kayaking. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.